This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, thanks for tuning in.
Kia ora, everyone. Back with both of us this week.
Yeah, it feels like quite a long time since we were both in here.
Yeah, and so long.
So long. And sadly, like, we've only got 3 episodes left for this year anyway, but we'll,
So get your fix while you can. You can listen to our old episodes.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
If you really miss us.
On the ORFM website or on YouTube as well, actually.
Oh, is it on YouTube?
Yeah. so today we're kind of covering love.
Yeah, we're going to do romance. And then I was like, I don't think the books that I've read are particularly romantic.
Are they not?
Just about love, sort of.
Matters of the heart.
Yeah.
Or maybe, it's more of a matters of the heart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, cool. Okay, great. Fine with that.
You've just got back kind of recently from your travels to Melbourne.
Yeah, so I was there doing the Literary Programmers Roundtable, which is quite a mouthful of a name. It basically is this thing that the UNESCO Cities, Creative Cities, put on. Mm. So this was the 5th year running, and I got to go there and represent the Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute. So it was a full week of meeting different literary organisations and having meetings in the morning. That was the roundtable part, and talking about best practices for programming events. So, yeah, it was really interesting. There was people from there was 7 international people, and there was people from the UK and the US, from Iowa and from Quebec and from Poland. There was 3 people who put on international poetry festivals, which was real cool to hear about.
Yeah.
And then there was 7 Melbourne candidates as well, and so they were coming from like different libraries. There was like this really cool library that we went to called, I'm gonna try and pronounce it properly, Nam Nagal. It translates to Melbourne Knowledge, and it's a awesome new library that's been there for like 2 years and celebrates like First Nations people.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely going to try it.
Such a cool.
Go there next time.
It's near the Victoria Markets. So that part of the city.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty amazing week.
Yeah. I mean, super.
Do you feel inspired or?
Yeah, I've come up with some interesting ideas for the Athenaeum. It was just really interesting to meet the Athenaeum in Melbourne City as well. And also there was a lady from a library in Manchester called Portico Library, and that was really interesting because they kind of run in the same sense that we do, in that it was a subscription library there. One actually, I think it still is, but they kind of moved away from that. They've got really ancient books there, like, you know, Elizabeth Gaskell, because that's where she lived. So we can't really compete with that kind of history, but they do a lot of events and stuff, and they have like a restaurant even.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So they're not subscription based anymore.
I think you can be a member, but you don't need to be to use the space, which is kind of what we are here in the Athenaeum, but they have more reasons for people to come into their library space.
So
they own the building as well. And so does the Melbourne Athenaeum as well. They have an incredible theatre that they lease out. In fact, I got to go to the Melbourne Writers Festival opening night, which was really cool.
Wow.
And also, obviously, a couple of events over the weekend.
Yeah, what did you go to?
I went to this one on Sunday called Who's Poet Laureate Is It Anyway, which was Chris Teese and Maxine Benedanto, I can't remember her last name. She was a Melbourne lady. And the Scottish bard, Michael Pedersen. So it was the 3 of them in conversation about their experiences of being a laureate because it's quite a point of contention in Australia because they don't have one and it's very colonial and so there's a lot of conversations around whether they actually want one. So, yeah, that was really interesting.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, I saw some author talks and saw a terrible singing poetry thing.
Oh, God.
And saw a really cool thing put on by this woman, Panda Wong. She's a poet and also was working for the City of Lit there. So she was kind of our host for the week. But yeah, her and this other lady had put on this event that was very sort of experimental. Like she was doing live coding to poetry and then there was a harpist and stuff. That was really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it was very, very full week. I'm going to be writing up, well, I'm in the process of writing up a wee sort of article for Fiona Farrell for that. And so that will be shared publicly so you can hear more about it. But yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did it.
I'm still
good time.
A lot to process. I mean, yeah, it was sort of, I've been back about 2 weeks now.
Been intense though, meeting so many people.
Yeah, it was. Even our lunch breaks was filled with meeting different literary organisations. It was all held within the Wheeler Centre, which is within the State Library building, so right in the CBD. But yeah, it was a very interesting experience. And it actually made me really happy to be living in Utipoti.
That's nice.
I love living here and the scene here for literature and how supportive it is and unpretentious and yeah.
Yeah, we've got something pretty special here.
Definitely.
It does take going away and then you come back. You're like, oh, which is nice to feel after being young and coming back and being like, oh, I hate it here.
Yeah, totally.
Now that I'm a bit older, I'm like, oh, it's actually, I really appreciate
what it's doing.
Yeah.
Love what you're doing here, Dunedin.
What you're doing.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think, yeah, because I lived in Melbourne when I was in my 20s and it was wonderful time in my life, but realising, like, I don't want to live in a city anymore. And I've got a lot of friends that live in Melbourne. But even my friend over there, they were like, it doesn't make much sense living in a city in 2026, maybe as much as it used to.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like all of my friends that have moved elsewhere are now living in Nam, so which is nice. So they just visit everyone at the same time.
Yeah, because it's kind of like the city that New Zealand doesn't have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what books? We should talk some books.
Okay, so this is the book that I read this week. Which I will say emotionally destroyed me in a good way. I loved it. But, so it's called Almost Life by Kieran Millwood Hargrave. And this is her second adult novel, I think. She started off as a children's book author and has written a lot of really successful and beloved children's books. I can't remember what they're called now. And I forgot to write them down, but they're good, so look them up. And she's also a poet and her debut adult novel was called The Mercies, which I don't think I've talked about, but I might have. Anyway, it's a book I read a few years ago and I loved it. It's about this coastal village in Norway in the 1600s where the storm kills off all the island's men and then there's two women that are struggling to survive.
Oh, wow.
And it's like witchcraft. So I recommend that as well as this book that I'm about to talk about. So Almost Life is about two women. So it's Erica and Laure. Who meet on the steps of the Sacré-Cœur in Paris in 1978. And then the novel sort of follows the way that their lives merge and then part, and then the life that they live and the time they're together, and then when they're apart in the following 35 years. So it's a very sweeping lifetime-spanning novel. You first meet the two characters when they're both young. So Laure is, excuse me, she's French. I can't say French words because one time when I was younger, I was seeing a French girl and she was like, you have the worst French accent I have ever heard in my life. And now that just haunts me.
Sounds very, like a very French thing.
Yeah.
I had said.
So excuse my pronunciation of any French words. But so Laure is a Parisian and she is sort of, she has a certain ravissement, which is what her friend Michelle calls it, where she's like, she just has this sort of electric appeal. She's drawing women to her from all angles, and she's studying her PhD in art theory at the Sorbonne, and then she meets Erica, who's this really fresh-faced 18-year-old who's come to spend a summer in Paris before she starts her English degree back in Britain, and they fall in love, and then life takes them apart, and just it's just about the ways they get drawn back together and sort of the different paths their lives take. And I really loved it. I haven't felt it. I've thought about the book every day since I've read it, like a lot, which I haven't had in a while. Even though I've read some really amazing books, this one just really got me. I think I love both the characters. They're really messy and complex. They make terrible decisions, and it's just like, I just really saw a lot of myself in them, I think, which is why it really hit me. Yeah, in a way other books haven't.
Like being that age.
Being that age, but it's also just throughout all their lives is just like the decisions they make and, yeah.
The human condition.
The human condition, yeah. They're messy, they're complex. And it's like at the beginning one of them seems a bit more straightforward than the other or like more confident, but then as time goes on the lines about that start to blur, and it's like, you know, they drink too much, they make bad decisions. And like good decisions, there's like they have friends and lovers and dramas, and yeah, I really love the way all the characters in this novel are completely fully realised, especially the two leads, but also all their like especially Laura's friends in Paris are really beautifully realised, and yeah, she has this amazing queer friend group, and yeah, there's lots of the book deals with pretty heavy topics like addiction and grief and regret, and as it's set in the starts in 1978 and then goes up to 2013, I think, is the end of the book. It deals with things throughout queer history, like the AIDS crisis. So there's all that going on. It never feels like it's sort of, what's the word, like a cliche used in the novel. It all comes through quite naturally and is dealt with, not in a heavy-handed way. But, yeah.
Like historical.
Like yeah, it's a historical novel, I guess you could say. And it's like, yeah, it's sort of about the choices that they make, and it's about their relationship. Because for Laura, who is a lesbian, the question of their relationship is simpler. Like she's already really enmeshed in this queer, although they wouldn't have called it that, but life in Paris. And she meets Erica, and Erica realises she's bisexual when they start having this relationship with each other. And yeah, it's sort of for Erica, it's the question of, you know, in the 70s and 80s, she can see multiple paths of how her life could go. And one of them, like, there's certain ways that are easier than others. So, yeah, it's like just dealing with, like, regression, living with your decisions. I don't know. I just really loved it. It's almost one that I'm like, I don't really want to recommend it to people because I don't want to hear about it if you didn't like it.
We'll take it as a personal insult.
Yeah. Although I think, like, I can see a lot of people not enjoying this, but yeah, I also really liked how Paris in the novel was sort of its own character. Like Laura especially has her own love story with the city of Paris, and like they love each other and they break up, and yeah.
The city of love. Where is the author from? Are they?
She's British, so yeah. And
so they still, are they mainly writing adult fiction now, or are they sort of doing a bit of everything?
I think she's writing adult fiction now. I'm not sure if she's still writing children's novels. But yeah, I was trying to find, there's not really many interviews about this book, but there was that she's given. But I watched this interview where she was talking about how she really focused on like the child inside her characters, because she's used to writing. That was like her basis in literature. So really seeing how the child of these characters has like really influenced the things they do as adults. So yeah,
it's a good character development.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
you really see that in this one. But yeah, that was Almost Life by Kieran Millwood Hargrave. I loved it, but don't tell me if you didn't like it. I don't want to hear it.
Only good feedback. Yeah, well, I read a book that had been getting a lot of attention lately. Hang on, I'm going to put my reading glasses on. Called Heart the Lover by Lily King. She's an American writer in her 60s and has all the right education in creative writing. You know,
she's in her 60s.
Yeah.
In my head, I was picturing her like 25 or something.
That is what I thought until I looked her up because of the content in the book. Mm. So much like your book, it is a tale of love, and the characters meet when they're all well, they're all in university. So yeah, it's a tale about love, relationships, and literature, and the ways in which those things fall away and others are everlasting. So it's, yeah, follows the story of a young university student, Jordan, and she's studying literature and creative writing. And one day in class, the professor points out like how clever her essay is, and then the two young guys at the front of the class, who are kind of almost like the professor's pet favorite students, the most intellectual young guys, notice her, and then she sort of gets brought into their fold. So it's, I mean, from the get-go, you know it's a story. It's like a love triangle story. And so, yeah, these two young guys, Yash and Sam, I think his name is, yes, actually live in the professor's house while he's away. So they're living in this huge house full of books. Mm-hmm. And Jordan comes and starts hanging out with them. And then her and Sam hook up in a classic boy meets girl situation at university. And obviously there's all the awkward interactions and literary pretentiousness. Like there's a lot of literary chat in it, which I guess brings the book back from being something maybe it is trying to not do, which is just be a bit of a trashy love novel, maybe. But yeah, Sam's a Christian, her love interest, so no sex before marriage. There's some very racy scenes that go on. And then, as we know, it's a love triangle. Sam falls away from the picture a bit, and Jordan and Yash begin a little bit of a love affair. And yeah, so then the second part of the novel, I think maybe it's in three parts actually, but the second half of the book basically is set in the future. You don't really witness what happens, just bang, suddenly they're in their late 40s.
Okay.
And the three of them have all kind of parted ways. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to give too much away by telling you what that is kind of focusing on. But I felt like when I landed there, I was sort of like, oh, okay, right, we're in our late 40s now. And
here we are.
It was sort of, I mean, I was enjoying the book in the same way that I'd enjoy watching something a little bit trashy on Netflix.
Okay.
I could really see this being a Netflix show type kind of vibes. I guess what else have I written about it? The reviews show that readers absolutely love this book, and that it was a massive tearjerker at the end. I think, and I'm very sorry that I haven't done my research on this, that it actually ties into another book that she's written that maybe exists. Maybe that's showing more what's happening in their late 20s,
30s. Oh, okay. So she's already written. Interesting.
I think so, yeah. But yeah, she's had a lot of attention because she's a US writer. And actually, this is her seventh book. I saw someone say, yay, finally she's in, like, you know, the UK are finally recognising her as a great writer. And yeah, she's really good at her craft. It is well written. It's clever, I guess. I'm sort of, you know, will I remember this in a couple of years? Probably not. But was I entertained? Yes. Yeah, sort of a lighthearted look into the hearts of two people whose love remains despite their lives taking different paths. One of the characters says, it's just this long, tender farewell to our youth. So that's kind of at its heart. I mean, it's a good, easy read.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something kind of light.
What we read are quite good partner novels.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you cry at the end?
I was like, because I knew it was coming and I know. Yeah. But maybe I also didn't give the book respect and kind of, you know, I did that thing where I'm like, oh, I've got a couple more pages, okay. And then, yeah. I didn't, you know, sometimes you need to sit with the end of a book and really give it that attention. Yeah, I started reading this on the plane, actually. It's really accessible. I can see why it's been popular, but I don't, I mean, it always comes down to that question of, like, why read? Are you just reading for entertainment, or do you want something that really moves you? is about the human condition. I feel like she didn't handle that well, like it was kind of brushed over. I didn't really believe in the authenticity of Jordan as a character. She felt a little bit two-dimensional to me.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't care about any of the characters, actually, come to think of it.
Well, there you go, then.
Yeah, not very relatable.
I want to read it. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's well written. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard good things. So, but I'm wondering if I'll feel the same as you. I feel like I might.
Yeah. It's just a quick, yeah. I was like, okay, let's go. So that's Lily King, Heart the Lover. So Heart the Lover is a card game that they play sort of throughout the book. So it's kind of a nice reoccurring theme that comes through, but it's a game.
Mm.
Are they playing games with each other? Maybe. Is that what love is? Just one big game?
Makes you think.
It really makes you think.
I got, when I finished Almost Life, I finished it exactly the moment that I finished my shift at work, and I had to go into the...
So you're reading on the job.
Yes, it's winter, it's quiet.
Nice.
I had to go into the sick bay. I was in the sick bay and weep.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, the power of a book being able to provoke that is, it's very talented writing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels quite special.
We're sort of running out of time and we've got 4 minutes.
Yeah, do you want to talk about events you've got coming up?
Yeah, we have events. We have, very fortunately, we have some exciting creative writing workshops coming up. So Eliana Gray and I have set those up and they are going to be monthly. They're free. They're very... been supported by City of Literature in Dunedin, which is thank you, shout out. And the first two are already booked up. We haven't even been advertising for 24 hours.
Amazing.
But there might be cancellations, so if you do want to be on the waiting list, you can email librarian@dunedinathenaeum.org.nz, which is just the Athenaeum's email, which you can find on their website as well, our website. And then, yeah, the next ones are going to be in August, September, October, probably have a break over December, January. So, yeah, and each one will be run by a different local writer. So it's run by local writers for local people.
Oh, amazing. I'm so happy it's filled up so fast.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see so many people excited about writing. And I actually saw that there was some creative writing poetry workshops happening at yours.
I saw that as well.
Run by the Robert Burns Fellow, Rachel, someone, I can't remember her name, sorry. But that's happening over June, so they look really cool. We're checking out sound poetry, I think, is what she's focusing on. They are focusing on. And then, we've got a event on the 18th of June called Midwinter Dark Tales. And so we're having some readings from writers Marie Connolly, Liam McIlvany, and Wendy Parkins.
Hmm.
And then, just short readings and then followed by a panel discussion, which is chaired by Fiona Kidman. Fiona Farrell, who's on our committee at the Athenaeum. And we're so lucky to have her on there because she's wonderful. That's free to attend. Anyone can come. The more details will be on our website for that as well. That's all we have time for today.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks' time.
Ka kite.
Bye-bye.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.